Well, I'm really excited this morning. First of all, thank you for those of you who prayed for me while I was in Uganda. I got back last Sunday, having been there for 2 weeks, had a great time. I just love being there, but it was just so encouraging just to see the team of people that we're working with out in Jinja, just going deeper in the revelation of who the Father is, and you know, really just their lives changing. Some of these guys, they're street kids, they're ex-street kids. Some of them are ex-street child soldiers. And it's devastating to hear their stories, but it's wonderful to see what God is doing in their hearts. We also had one of the leaders of the opposition parties come to us for a couple of days. And just to be able to share with him and pray with him was tremendously exciting. He's slowly and quietly building up a network of righteous men to affect the political scene in Uganda. So it was just encouraging to spend time with him and hear his vision, hear his heart, pray for him, and you know, just pray for his safety above everything else, really. So that was good. And I got back last Sunday, and I got to the bus stop at Park and Ride in Oxford, and I saw Fiona and the dog, and which is always a good, you know, my welcome home, see Fiona and the dog. And then as the bus comes round to park, I see Fiona helping a little boy off a wall. And I look at the little boy, you know, second glance, it's my grandson, it's Asher. And then I look behind, I see Hannah, our daughter, with Finn, our other grandson, one of our other grandsons. I think, ah, I'm not going to have a week's rest, obviously. So we had the whole family, they went home yesterday, and I feel like today I can put my feet up for a bit. But I'm very encouraged this morning because just some of the sense of God's presence with us and the words that have been coming out in the worship and so on is really encouraging for what I want to say, but actually not just for what I want to say, it's actually for what God wants to do in our hearts today, because it's just all of a flow. And I just want to speak about something that I want to speak about something that we all desperately need. It's something we don't talk about, but it's something that's actually mentioned in the Bible over 100 times. And I kind of feel if something's mentioned in the Bible 100 times, we ought to at least talk about it occasionally. But my experience is we don't talk about it, let alone receive it. And this is not a topic. I'm not talking about a topic this morning. I'm talking about an experience. I'm talking about something we need to experience and receive in our hearts. And, you know, it's something as I travel around and I ask people, you know, how many times have you heard anyone talk about this? And most often they say never. Last week in Uganda, 2 weeks ago in Uganda, I asked the question, how many of you have ever heard anyone talk on this subject? And by that time I told them what the topic was, so they knew. But only one person put up her hand out of about 30 people, 25, 30 people, and she said, yes, I've heard someone talk about it. She said, I heard you talk about it online. But what I want to talk about this morning is comfort. Comfort is an expression of love that we all need to experience. And it's an expression of love that is, as I say, it's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, but it's something we don't talk about. It's something we don't allow ourselves to receive. But I really believe that that's what the Father wants to do today. I was, you know, listening to Pat's word about grief and loss, and Akin bringing something about loss. This is what Father wants to do. It's what he wants to do in our hearts today. And I just want to encourage you as I'm talking, don't wait. We're going to have a time at the end just when we just open it up for people to receive. You know, don't wait for that. You can receive as I'm talking. You know, I often find when I'm talking about comfort, I just start looking around the room and I see people weeping because Father is touching them. And that's always very precious because, you know, it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with, you know, us laying hands on people. It's all to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit touching our spirit. And so I just want to encourage you just to open your hearts as we go through the rest of the morning to receive what Father wants to do for each one of you. The dictionary is really helpful. The dictionary defines comfort as bringing relief from pain, distress, or affliction, satisfying us and strengthening us within, providing a sense of well-being and quiet enjoyment. Now, don't we all need that? We all need at some level relief from pain. We all need relief from affliction. We all need relief from distress. We all need to be satisfied deep within. We all need to know that sense of quiet enjoyment that only comes to us through the Holy Spirit. See, comfort is it's a deep expression of love that reaches right into our heart and touches every pain we've experienced. The thing we sadly do with pain and trauma and loss is we carry it. We carry it in our hearts. And that causes our heart to be hardened. It causes our heart to be closed. And we carry this weight around that we become used to. And the Father wants to relieve us from that pain this morning. He wants to satisfy us with his comforting love. See, this is not a topic. This is not an intellectual topic. This is a heart encounter where our hearts engage with the heart of the Father and he pours the substance of his love into our heart. See, love is a substance. You know, if I've got an empty jug and I pour it into an empty glass, I'm pouring nothing into nothing. And what do I end up with? Nothing. But, you know, the Father's love, the Father's comfort is a substance. And when he pours it out of himself into us, we receive exactly the same as is being poured out from his heart. And that's where the picture breaks down, because of course with the jug, you can pour it out and the jug gets empty. But with the Father's love for us, with his comfort for us, there's a never-ending supply. You know, don't think, oh, I've had my ration for today. Because your ration is limitless. You know, what he wants to do in our hearts today is to pour that comfort into our hearts. I feel very excited because I just feel throughout the whole worship time, that's what the Father's been preparing our hearts for. And I believe he's already started to do that as we've been worshiping and listening to the words of encouragement. That something is going to come inside of us and transform us and change us. You know, and I just sense that that's what, you know, the Father wants to do. He wants to go deep into our hearts today. Just before we look at some aspects of what it is to be comforted, I want to look at the tragedy of what it's like when we don't receive comfort. Because that's how most of us live our lives. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes at the beginning of chapter 4 something that really strikes me as being incredibly sad and incredibly tragic. You know, Solomon's at the end of his long life and is looking back over his life, and he's had his ups and downs, of course, but his conclusion, you know, in summary, is that a life without God is meaningless, but a fruitful life comes out of our life-giving relationship with our Creator. You know, and here he is at the end of his life, looking back over his all his ups and downs, and he writes this in the first three verses of Ecclesiastes. Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and there was no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power, and there was no one to comfort them. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. The most fortunate of all are those who have not yet been born, for they've not seen all the evil that is done under the sun. That's a tragedy. That's an absolute tragedy. To live without comfort. And, you know, Solomon's conclusion is, actually, we're better off dead than living a comfortless life. And he says, actually, we're better off not to be born than to have to suffer a life without comfort. See, we were made to be loved. We were made to experience comfort. We were made to live in that place of safety and security. But sadly, no, we haven't. And Solomon sees these people and his heart goes out to them because there's no one to comfort them. And I find that a tragedy because it means we have to live in a state of despair and brokenness, which is not the way the Father intended us to live. You know, it means there's a yearning in our heart that is never satisfied. And instead of living in love, we live in despair. We end up feeling hopeless. When we're uncomforted, all the trauma that has settled in our heart stays there and becomes a heavy weight. And of course, we don't like to be comfortless. We don't like to be without comfort. So we try and find false comforts. You know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, shopping, chocolate, alcohol, wrong relationships, our work. You know, many things, they can all be good things, but we sink ourselves into them because we want to try and find something that our heart is looking for. And all of these false comforts are like medicine. They work for 4 hours and then you have to take the next dose. And so we run back to our false comforts time after time after time, and we get satisfaction, we get gratification until it wears off. And then we're left feeling empty again. But when we receive the Father's comforting love, it does a deep work in our heart that changes and transforms our heart forever. One of the joys of being in Uganda last week was seeing some of these young people who I've had the privilege of knowing a few years, and just seeing the change that is being, you know, shown in their lives as they're learning to just let go of some of the stuff of the past and live in the reality of who they really are. You know, and I believe that's for all of us. We all experience trauma. We all experience trauma. And we all experience in different ways. You know, what may be traumatic for me may not be traumatic for John. What's traumatic for John might not bother me. And one of the things we're sadly very, very good at doing is seeing other people with their trauma, which isn't our trauma, and we tell them to buck up and get over it and get on with life. Because what they're going through is not a problem for us. It wouldn't affect us in the same way. And what we don't do is we don't stand alongside people in those moments when they need to be comforted and accept that their trauma is traumatic for them. It might not be anything for us, but it is for them. We can't do that because we ourselves haven't been comforted. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that, you know, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and the Father of all compassion, who comforts us in all our troubles. Comforts us in all our troubles so that we may comfort other people. You see, we can only give comfort if we've received comfort. We can be sympathetic, we can be empathetic, but we can only truly give comfort if we ourselves have received it. And if we haven't received comfort, when people around us are struggling and going through things, we're not able to give them the comfort that they need. See, trauma leaves us feeling emotionally empty. You know, when we're in shock, when we're alone, when we're abandoned, when we're in pain, when we're sick, when we're wounded, when we're broken, when we're rejected, and of course, when we're walking through bereavement, the loss of a loved one. It's traumatic. And we feel the pain of that trauma. We feel the weight. You know, sometimes what it's like when a traumatic event hits you suddenly, it's like being hit so hard in the stomach you can't breathe. You know, something happens, and even when maybe you can see it's going to happen, you know, if someone is suffering and is ill and you know that their time is coming, there's still a trauma. You know, and trauma hits us and it leaves us emotionally empty. And the way I see it is like our heart is like a container. And trauma is a heavy weight that sits at the bottom of that container. And we carry it around. And we get used to carrying it around. But the comforting love of the Father is something that goes down the inside edge of that container. It goes underneath the trauma. And as we receive more and more comfort, it gradually lifts that trauma up until it floats away. How much comfort do you need to receive? I don't know. How long does it take? I don't know. But I encourage you to go on receiving comfort until you know that the trauma in your heart has been lifted up and washed away. If we don't receive more comfort than the trauma we've received, the trauma stays in our heart. It's only when we allow ourselves to be comforted that that trauma can go. I believe we all suffer trauma. The trouble is we see trauma as being the big things in life, a loss of a job, a loss of a loved one. But actually trauma goes on all the time. The last 2 years with COVID and lockdown and all that stuff, yeah, we've experienced trauma. We've experienced loss, because loss is traumatic. And all of us have experienced loss. You know, the loss of being able to see our family, the loss of being able to meet together as a church family, the loss of not being able to go to work but having to make a home office somewhere at home. You know, and of course we've lost, you know, maybe many of us know people who we've sadly lost through it. You know, and there's loss all around us. And we all experience loss, and we experience it in different ways. Loss very often comes unannounced. You know, I remember 2 years ago at the beginning of COVID, I had my diary booked up, and, you know, I knew where I was going this month and that month and the other month. And, you know, I was in Poland when they had 3 cases of COVID, and then at the end of the week they had 20 and they closed the airport. You know, and suddenly we get home and a week later the country's in lockdown. We've just had a new grandson born who we managed to see. It was in that period when the government was saying you should only travel if it's essential. We decided it was essential. And we didn't see, you know, Finn for two or three months after that. You know, we've all had losses. And, you know, of course, we're British, aren't we? So we just have a cup of tea and carry on. But those losses remain in our heart, and those losses affect us. And I'm just beginning to see, as I'm traveling around again and meeting people again, and just talking to people, you know, in coffee breaks and lunch breaks and over meal times and so on, I'm just beginning to see how much loss we've suffered over these last few years. You know, and of course, the British thing is just to keep calm and carry on. But that loss will stay in our heart. And what the Father wants to do is all of these losses, is he wants to comfort us for them. Of course, many of us, we've experienced the painful loss of losing someone we love. You know, that's deeply, deeply painful. You know, many of us might have lost jobs, we might have lost homes, we might have lost possessions. All of these things are a loss. And loss affects us all. It affects us in different ways. And the problem is we're so used to carrying that loss. But what the Father wants to do is just to take that loss, lift it off us, and comfort us with his love. He wants to comfort our hearts. It's not easy. It's not easy facing the loss and facing the trauma. It's painful. I've got a friend, and she said, we have to go to the ouch moment. You know, we have to go back to that point of pain. And we have to stay there until we know that we've been comforted. And that's not ever easy. But it's a healing for us as we let the Father pour his comfort into our heart. That comfort is that deep expression of love that brings relief from our pain, affliction, and distress. And it sets us free. You know, how long does it take? I don't know. It takes as long as it takes. You know, part of me wishes I could click my fingers and it would happen instantly for all of us. But I know it doesn't happen like that. Because somehow there is the process of walking through it that takes us deeper into relationship with him. And quick fixes are very often not quick fixes. But quick fixes often deny us that privilege of learning to walk deeper with him. And I remember one time, you know, the Father said to me, he said, Mark, enjoy the beauty of process. And my response to him was, excuse me, the process is not beautiful. You know, this is not beautiful. You know, and that's very often our response, isn't it? You know, the process is not beautiful. But he said to me, enjoy the beauty of the process. And I said, well, you're going to have to tell me a little bit more. And he said, the process is the thing that takes you deeper in relationship with me. And when we see it like that, you know, that depth of relationship we get with him is worth everything. So how long does it take? I don't know. It takes as long as it takes. And you can't rush the process of receiving comfort. You know, I know there have been times in my life when God has touched me in an instant and something's been changed. But I also know there's been times in my life when it's been the process. And you get to the end and you think, yeah, something's happened. And you know that God has worked in your heart. And I just simply encourage you not to rush that process, but to stay in that place where you can be comforted for as long as you need to be comforted in order that you receive all the comfort you need to receive. Because my experience is we all suffer loss. We might pretend we don't, but my experience is we all suffer loss. My experience is we all suffer trauma. And trauma is traumatic to you. Whatever expression, whatever has caused that, it's traumatic to you. And it's very easy to say, oh, my trauma's nothing compared to so-and-so's trauma. You know, their trauma's much worse. Well, you know, don't you think God can deal with both of you at the same time? Of course he can. You know, it might have been a little or seemingly little event, but if it's traumatic for you, it's traumatic for you. And we need to be comforted for those, that trauma that we've experienced. There's a beautiful verse in Isaiah 51, Isaiah 51, verse 3. The Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places. He makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. See, when we're comforted, it's like the desert of our heart is transformed. The waste places, the barren places become beautiful gardens. Instead of sorrow and sadness, there's joy and gladness. See, comfort transforms our heart. And we all need that, don't we? We all need that. We all need to experience that. In verse 11 of Isaiah 51, it says, those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. See, when we're comforted, our heart can come home. Our heart's brought home. You know, we find that place of true contentment. Our verse for this morning in our series looking at the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, and we can, the loss that I've been talking about, the loss that we all suffer, the trauma that we all suffer, you know, there's going to be times of loss for all of us. It's always significant. It always affects us. It affects us deeply in many, many cases. And whenever we suffer loss, we need to be able to mourn our loss. It's part of the natural grieving healing process. It's interesting that Jesus says in Matthew, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He doesn't say, blessed are those who grieve. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Grief is the onslaught of emotions that happen when we suffer loss, when we suffer trauma. Grief is the anger, the rejection, the pain, the questions, you know, that sort of, that hammer blow, very often, hammer blow, hammer blow, hammer blow. And grief is when we're assailed by those emotions. But mourning is the process of walking through that barrage of emotions. Mourning is the process of walking through grief. Mourning has a beginning and it does have an end. I don't know, for each of us, that end will be in a different place, it'll be in a different time scale, but mourning has an end. But mourning is the process of walking through the grief, and as we walk through the grief, as we walk through those hammer blows of emotions after emotions after emotions, Jesus promises us that we will be comforted. Some of us mourn in private. That's okay. Some of us mourn more publicly. That's okay. What we don't want to do is be stuck in our grief. We want to allow ourselves to mourn. And sometimes that means finding time. You know, we live busy lives. We've got one thing after another. Our calendars are full. Sometimes if we're really going to allow ourselves to mourn, we have to give ourselves time to find a place that is suitable and appropriate, an activity that works for us, and just put ourselves in that place where we can mourn, where we can allow the grief and the pain to be washed away, where we can allow ourselves to be comforted. The Message version of the Bible says this from Matthew 5, verse 4. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You know, we lose things that are precious to us. We lose things, we lose people that are precious to us. And as we mourn, we allow ourselves to be held in his embrace. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, the Lord holds us in his arms as a shepherd carries a lamb. That's what he wants to do for us, is just to pick us up and carry us and hold us close to his heart. So Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You will be comforted over Jerusalem. Mourning is just is not about the big losses in our life. It's something we need to do for every loss. And if we are sensitive to our own heart, we're able to discern the loss that we've experienced and allow ourselves to mourn. We can bring our heart to the Father of all comfort, the God of all compassion. And we can receive his comforting love into our heart. I want to give us an opportunity to receive the Father's comfort. I want to invite you to do that in whichever way you are most comfortable. You know, if you want to come and lie on the carpet, you're very welcome. If you want to be prayed for, that's fine. If you just want to sit quietly, Graham's going to put some music on. You may just want to go to the back somewhere and lie down. But, you know, whatever place is comfortable for you. One of my pet hates is that expression, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. I hate that. I know what people mean. But this morning, you have my permission, and I think you have the Father's permission, to get into your comfort zone and stay there. He wants to comfort us with his love. So, Graham, can you put some music on? I'd just like to pray. But just find a place. Just take a moment to find a place. You know, there's the space. I know the wooden floor is not comfortable, but just find a place. Find a place where you can be comfortable, where you can just open your heart to the Father. As I say, if you want to lie down, that's fine, but just be free.